The first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25, and that's in the New Testament part of your Pew Bible, page 230. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you. And the gospel reading is Matthew 4, starting at verse 12, and it's on page 3 in the New Testament of your Bible. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As they went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Kathy, thank you very much indeed for reading for us. Shall we pray as we turn to the Word of God together? Father, we thank you for that great truth that the Word of the Lord endures forever. And we pray that now by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to listen to you, to not be distracted by other voices in the world around us, but to trust in you and your word to us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord. Amen. Now, I wonder what images are conjured up in your mind when I say the word holiness. Is that what you think of? Is it a very severe-looking man, long black robes, long beard, wagging his finger at somebody in disapproval? Is it a judge with a pinched face, floating around in their robes, seemingly cut off from the troubles and the cares of real people? I wonder what sort of things the word holiness means to you. I wonder, do we consider ourselves as a holy people as we gather together as this local church? As we delve deeper into this wonderful letter of 1 Peter, we're confronted with a very different sort of picture of how we should live as strangers and exiles in this world. I wonder what our strategy is for living as strangers in this world. There's the jolly chameleon. As you all know, sometimes their reaction is just to blend in. They see their background, their surroundings, and they simply just assimilate and they just become completely like their background. Is that how we try to live in the world? We speak the same words. We spend our money on the same sort of things. We live the same sort of life. Do we simply want to live a quiet, comfortable life, not stirring things up? We plot the path of least resistance to those around us. Is that what we're trying to do in our lives? Well, the Apostle Peter challenges us in a very different direction. If you have your Bibles open, it's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, he says, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Now, when it says prepare your minds, literally it means gird up the loins of your mind. Have you ever girded up your loins? In the first century Palestine, with these long flowing robes, you can see they're not very useful for running. They're not very useful for doing things of action, like fighting. So you get your robe behind and you just hoik it up into your belt, tuck it in, and then you can do your job. That's the image that Peter is telling us here. Gird the loins of your mind. And it's about being active. It's about going out there ready for action. It's not just about being. Just about being. Sometimes you hear that in the church. We just need to be. Well, that's not really the imagery that the New Testament's full of. It's much more about contending, fighting, taking your stand, walking the right way. And Peter's encouraging us today to actually gird up our loins and spring into action in terms of holiness. So that's really our first point we're going to be thinking about today. Hope in Christ is being ready for action. We are not just called to fit into the culture around us. And sometimes that can be very hard, very uncomfortable. Peter tells us not to put our hope in anything of this world, but on Christ coming again and ushering in a new age. And if this hope calls us into action to be holy, then we cannot just live lives like everyone else. We cannot just be careless, self-indulgent. We are to be holy. Verse 16, for it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Those famous words from Leviticus. God calls his people to be holy, and we are to follow them. Do you remember the story of the Exodus in the Old Testament? After the 10 plagues, Pharaoh eventually changes his heart and mind, and it seems that he's about to allow his people to leave slavery and to leave Egypt. And God tells them in the Passover meal, this is what he says in Exodus, "This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They were to be ready to leave Egypt and travel with God to enter the promised land that God had prepared for them. So too, we are to be ready to live for Christ before we enter our final rest in heaven, the New Jerusalem. Now this week, a rather surprising thing happened. The House of Bishops in the Church of England issued a pastoral statement that didn't fudge the issue, that was actually clear, and supported the traditional and biblical idea of marriage. Let me just read you just a few sentences from this report that was published. It has always been the position of the Church of England that marriage is a creation ordinance, a gift of God in creation, and a means of his grace. Marriage, defined as a faithful, committed, permanent, and legally sanctioned relationship between a man and a woman making a public commitment to each other, is central to the stability and health of human society. And it's actually quite an encouraging report to read. It tells us the great traditional views of the Bible on human relationships and marriage. And this was taken up by many different sections of the media, in the BBC and the national newspapers. And you wouldn't believe the amount of mockery and ridicule that was poured on that report from many different people. From some of the reporters to some of the people who left comments afterwards, really vitriolic, really nasty comments, ridiculing the Christian stance that has stood for centuries. We need to be aware today that if we want to be holy in this world, if we want to take a stand for God and his standards in this world, we are opening ourselves up to abuse, to ridicule, and real persecution. Being holy means being separate from the rest of the world around us. Now, that's not saying we're any better than anyone else. It's simply saying that if we are God's people, we are expected to follow God's standards in the areas of ethics and morality. And particularly in our society, in the whole area of human relationships, gender and sexuality, for that in our culture is where the rubber really hits the road. And the challenge to us, will we live as strangers and exiles in this world, taking God's word for truth, or will we just bow down to the culture around us? Peter tells us, don't conform yourself to the rest of the world. Don't conform, but discipline yourselves and be ready for action. That's what he says in verse 14. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. It's difficult, but as in our gospel reading we heard about Jesus calling his disciples, he's still calling us to live for him today. So our hope in Christ is all about being ready, prepared for action. But it's also about our hope is through the Lord Jesus. When we hope, we are reminding ourselves that we also have to be accountable. One day we will have to answer for our lives. It tells us, verse 17, if you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially, according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You see, we all have to be accountable. If every day of your life you have a huge bag of boiler sugars and you eat them and crunch them in your teeth, one day you will be accountable to your dentist. It may be in 6 months, it may be in a few years, but you will be accountable. If every night you take your car around the back streets of Lechlade, wrecking the clutch, burning out the brakes, one day you will be accountable to your garage. I'm sure you don't do that, but one day we'll be accountable because actions have consequences. Sometimes we think of judges being severe, cold, heartless. God is our judge, but he also loves us with real compassion and love. He loves us so much, he sent his son to die for us. He is our judge, but he's full of love and compassion for us. Now, we might be thinking, but surely as a Christian, I am saved. Surely as a Christian, I'm not under judgment anymore. I'm not longer going to face God as judge. Well, the Bible tells us that, yes, our salvation is absolutely sure, 100% sure in Christ. But as Christians, we'll still have to answer for our lives. There are still rewards of differing types for the saints in heaven. And Jesus teaches that in the parables. Do you remember the parable about the king who goes away? And he leaves his servants with different amounts of money and resources. He comes back again and he calls them all to account. And he tells us, to those who have been given, much will be required. All of us will have to answer for our lives. And I wonder this morning, do we have any sense that we are living in reverent fear in this life? I wonder, in our quieter moments when we reflect upon our lives, what are the areas we need to work on? If we're called to holiness, maybe that means that we have to tackle our temper and our impatience. Maybe we need to tackle our greed and selfishness, wanting everything our own way. Maybe behind the Sunday smiles, we are actually abusive and violent. Is that something we need to repent of? Are we dominated by lustful thoughts and what we see on the internet? What is it that the Holy Spirit needs to change us as we think about holiness? All of us, myself included, need to understand that Jesus died for us. He gave his precious blood that we can be saved. And Jesus died to rescue us from a lost and corrupt world. The cross of Jesus Christ should be a great incentive for us to live differently. Jesus did not die that we could live a dissolute life, not caring at all about holiness. Back in the 4th century, there was a man called Augustine, a truly remarkable man that God had been working on for years. He had a mother called Monica, and for many years she prayed faithfully for her son, who was running right away from God. She wept many tears for her son. And eventually he would turn to Christ, and he would later say in his book, The Confessions, that once he prayed, "Lord, give me chastity and continence, but not yet." And I suppose he speaks for many of us. "Lord, I do want to live for you, but Lord, please let me live a little bit first. Lord, allow me a little bit of fun, and then I'll turn to you. Lord, I will be your servant, I will be your disciple, but possibly next month. I can fit you in next year." And that great theologian, Robbie Williams, he actually quotes from St. Augustine in one of his songs called "Make Me Pure." And Robbie Williams says this, "I know I'm going to die, so my revenge is living well. O Lord, make me pure, but not yet." And I suppose he's just been honest, isn't he? And I suppose some of us are like that as well. "Lord, make me pure, but not yet." But this morning, as we read the Bible, God's telling us something rather different. Yes, you do need to be pure and holy, and it needs to start now. The Israelites in our past were our ancestors. God told them, "Don't follow the gods of Egypt, where you've come from. Don't follow the gods of Canaan, where you're going to. Follow me and me alone." You see, we are far from being neutral. Deep down in all of us is this little rebellious figure that wants to live life our own way. All of us are sinful and try to put the crown of God on our own head and try to live life our own way. Let me take you to a bit of a dark history moment. It's 1961. Adolf Eichmann, one of the leading figures of the Nazi regime, he was captured by Israeli agents, and he went on a famous trial in Jerusalem for crimes against humanity. So there's Eichmann on the right-hand side. And then a survivor of the Holocaust, a writer on the left called Yehiel Dinur, was a witness. And he was witnessing, giving his testimony against Eichmann. And then he collapsed in court. It was all too much. Afterwards, Dinur was interviewed. And he then said he wasn't overcome by hatred our fear, or even the horrific memories. No. As he explained, all at once he realized that Eichmann was not the godlike army officer who had sent so many to their deaths. This Eichmann was an ordinary man. And I quote, "I was afraid about myself," said Dinner. "I saw that I am capable to do this. I am exactly like he." See, the danger is when the Bible talks about sin and evil and repentance, we think it's just for SS generals. We just think it's for the really bad people. But actually, Dinner reminds us that all of us are self-centered. We all need to be forgiven, and we all need to turn to God. Let's be honest. All of us are capable of great evil. We're all capable of terrible things. And holiness is that process by which we get rid of these things from our lives and turn to a holy God. Being holy makes us no longer at home in this world. We are strangers here. Our hearts are elsewhere, and we need to live lifestyles that are a witness to others. So hope in Christ is being ready and taking action. Hope is always through Jesus, but hope means loving others. You see, we are redeemed from the world around us. A whole lifestyle has been swept away. Now, what does Peter want us to do? Well, verse 22 tells us, "Now that you have been purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God." We are called into community of the local church. But if you realize something, it's not always easy to love people in church. I'm sorry if that's a revelation to you, but sometimes it's difficult to love people in a church. Some people get right up our noses and under our skin. Let's be honest. Sometimes there's difficult, painful situations that can happen in a church. There can be splits. There can be factions. There could be misunderstandings. I'm just amazed the number of times I have conversations with people and they go back 20 or 30 years to a difficult situation that happened in church. That's the reality. But Peter calls us to love one another deeply from the heart. And that word deeply is the same word that Jesus prays deeply from the heart at Gethsemane. We're to love one another deeply in the church. And of course, we cannot do this by ourselves. We need help. I don't know if you ever watch sport on television, particularly the Winter Olympics. And this competition really took my attention. It was the cross-country skiing competition. I think it was in Sochi. And what really amazed me was the coaches. On the left-hand side, the coaches run the whole length of the course alongside the skiers. So they're not actually part of the competition, but it's the coach alongside giving constant encouragement, support, and advice. They don't say, "Go out there and win the gold medal." They say, "I will be with you all the way." And this morning, as we live for Jesus Christ as disciple, God is alongside us all the way in our discipleship. This morning, there may be a lot of things we need to change in our lives, but we don't have to do it alone. God has put the Holy Spirit in every single one of us. If we are a believer in Jesus, the Spirit's within us, helping us to be holy and to be like God. The local church should be a great place of acceptance, of warmth, and of love. It should be the place on earth when people see God's community being born and being lived out in holiness. But of course, we live in a real world, don't we? If you've seen the recent television documentaries about the ex-bishop of Gloucester, you will see the terrible abuses that have sometimes happened in the local church, in the Christian community. And we must be shocked by that. We must repent as the church that we allow these things to happen. But this morning, as we are called as disciples, as we come towards God's holiness, Let's go forward. Let's use the resources in the local church. Maybe there's a particular area that's been a real stranglehold in your life. It's been part of your life for years, and it's been a real struggle. Well, what about going to the prayer ministry after church in the side chapel and getting people to pray with you? What about joining a prayer triplet or a small group? Becoming accountable to other brothers and sisters in Christ to help you through a particular issue. You see, the God who called us to holiness is also the God who gave up everything for us. And this morning, I just want to encourage you to turn to God, to trust in him, and to pray to him. And let these words seep deep down into our bones. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's just spend a few moments in quietness, just thinking about areas of our lives that we need God to work on. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would help us, even today, to make a fresh start and to turn towards God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've been saved through the precious blood of Christ. Lord, help us to live our lives in the light of that sacrifice of Jesus for us. Lord, you men know the many dark areas of our lives, the dark corners that we are ashamed of, the patterns of living and the way of life that we don't want anyone else to see. Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in our lives. Help us to be accountable to one another and to be holy as you are holy. Lord, help us to do this in your strength and for your glory. Amen.